Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. In the set on the studio is Wing Kay Lee, the CEO of YTL Communications. Wing, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. Yeah. It's rather rare for us to do the interview on this set. Unfortunately, my colleague has kicked us out of the studio and here we are on this island set. But generally speaking, I want to ask you a lot of questions. Let's start off with YTL Communications. It's been August. You guys were the first MNO to roll out 5G. Let's talk about that first.
Yeah, a very good morning to you and the viewers out there. It's a pleasure to see you in person, actually.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I've been so used to seeing people in 2D, so it's great to see people in 3D. But back to your point, I think YTL Communications, we have done quite well in being the champion of 5G. I mean, we had been a champion all along in the 4G world. We were the first in 2010 to launch nationwide 4G. So I think it's time for us to take the lead again in the realm of 5G.
The issue on the telco sector is that the big players totally dominate the market. So how do you all come back from that notion of trying to beat the big guys?
It's a great reset. The way you look at it, this is a great reset. I think for a very long time, the country has been dominant by certain players. We enjoy a free market competition. So I think we were introduced by the government as a catalyst into the industry to improve quality and shake things up a bit. We have been a technology innovator to drive the first all-IP, all-4G network. We have been a price leader in terms of driving price down. So today you're enjoying good pricing on the 4G. Well, you can say thank you to us because we were the one in 2016 when we launched LTE to bring down prices, and therefore our fellow industry participant had to respond. So that is the competitive nature of what we do to drive being a catalyst, both from an innovation standpoint as well as from a commercial pricing standpoint. Now, when it comes to 5G, the reason that we think is a bit of a catalytic and also an opportunity for us to do reset is that if you look at how 4G has been rolled out in this country, minus YTL Communications, where we started from day one correctly with OIP, the other players are taking their sweet time because they want to sweat the 2G asset. They want to sweat the 3G assets. You know full well that we ran 3G all the way until last year when the government actually had to force the competitors of ours to shut down their 3G network. Now, if you were to run a business based upon sweating your existing asset, then the consumer, the riot, would never get the best and latest stuff. Now, with 5G, government has taken a proactive stance and says that, well, the old way of rolling out network, at least in the context of Malaysia, is not sustainable. The country needs world-class 5G ASAP, especially timing-wise. We are now exiting the COVID phase into an endemic phase. We need all the tools that we can get available to help the country move forward. And I think having quality internet services wirelessly is key for us to enable the country to go in terms of rebounds and actually turning the country into a transformation stage.
But is the answer a single wholesale network to get there?
So let's look at the reality. In the context of Malaysia, when it comes to 5G spectrum, see, spectrum is a starting point of any network. We cannot build wireless network without spectrum. So in the context of Malaysia, we have two bands of spectrum. One is at 3.5 gigahertz, and one is at 700 megahertz. 3.5 gigahertz, and pardon me for all these lingo, but
I'll try to explain it in
the sense that makes sense for the folks out there. 3.5 is what we call capacity band. That's where you get an amazing speed. And 700 is what we call the coverage band. That's where we provide very strong coverage because 700 from a radio spectrum standpoint can propagate much further. Now, we have these two bands available for 5G. Now, we also have something called millimeter wave, which is even higher at 28 gigahertz. We'll come to that later because I think the current 5G network is deployed upon these two important bands. Now, when it comes to 3.5, we have 200 megahertz as a country. Now, what is the context of 200 megahertz? That is maybe, I would call it a 12-lane highway, maybe a 14-lane highway. It's a great highway, but it's not a 30-lane highway, okay? So if you have a 12-lane highway, how many different divider can you put in a highway if you were to farm it out to multiple networks? Let's just say that we have a handful of operators that are interested to put money down on the table and say, government, give us this spectrum so we can do something about it. Well, if you take a 12-lane highway and divide it three-way or four-way, you end up getting a three-lane highway or four-lane highway. Now, how is four-lane highway so enjoyable compared to what we have today, which is a two-lane highway? So we are not seeing a substantial improvement simply because of the laws of physics. We don't have enough spectrum to divide so many ways.
But why is it then only Malaysia in this part of the world that is doing a single wholesale network? Our neighbors, they are also limited by the laws of physics as well, but they're not doing the same.
Yeah. Actually, sharing has been a very prominent thing to do across the world, just that people don't make it into a big issue like some people here try to. It's happening in China. The largest telco in the world, China Mobile, is sharing network with China Telecom. Further down south, our neighbor in Singapore, StarHub and M1, they're sharing network for 5G. You see that happening in America, you see it happening in other parts of the world. So sharing is not a bad thing, especially from an ESG standpoint. I mean, we all know that climate change is no joke, and sharing makes sense because it reduces the environmental impact. So that's a very strategic reason for sharing, not to mention the fact that in Malaysia's context, because the rollout of 4G has not been, I would say, world-class. I mean, I'm part of the industry, so I have some insider information in terms of how networks are being rolled out. And as I mentioned earlier, many of the peers in the industry of ours are trying to sweat the existing asset. So let me put it this way. I mean, you are also a subscriber of mobile services. When 4G first rolled out on your favorite network of yours, I mean, it didn't come in a hurry, right?
No.
The guys,
and I had no power, actually. I can kick down their door, but nothing's going to work.
That's the problem, isn't it, in a nutshell?
Yeah.
And that's why we need a new methodology for 5G rollout. We can't wait for people to sort out when people would deploy 5G. The way that we deployed 4G in this country, I say, except for yes, whereby we from day one have been 4G all the way. So, I guess we have done
so here's here's a little bit of admission. I do have my favorite network. It's one of the CDMU that we speak about, you know, rather non-mentioningly. But I also have the 5G phone that I use as my secondary device. And the utility of it is actually quite good. However, we want to see how the mass adoption of 5G is going to be rolled out in the country. YTL is still a small operator. However, you do have a strong customer base regardless. With the MNOs, I think six or seven are now buying a majority share of DNB. We're still waiting for the pricing strategy to be announced so that we know how much DNB is actually costing us on paper. But generally speaking, what's next for the mass adoption usage of 5G outside of the customers of YTL, but generally speaking, the entire country adopting 5G?
But I think it's safe to say that I can't comment on what my fellow industry participants want to do with 5G, but I can comment with regard to YTL Communications. With DNB today, we have now 30% population coverage of 5G. So there's a lot of myth out there, Ibrahim, that 5G is only in certain spots in the country and so on. Yeah, that might be the case in December last year when we first soft launched. But we've been working non-stop together with our colleagues at DNB to expand coverage. In fact, we've been using some of our towers to help DNB to the extent it makes sense to them to take advantage of. So where we are today, we have 90% population coverage in Kuala Lumpur, in Cyberjaya, and in Putrajaya. Now, we've gone outside of Klang Valley already. We have now 5G services in Johor Bahru. 5G is being made available in Selangor. It's now got 5G transmission in Perak. And very soon, we'll be going further up north to Penang. You probably have saw in the news that the minister actually announced the availability of 5G in Terengganu, right? So, in Kelantan, excuse me. So, you know, 5G is happening throughout the country. Now, based on DNB's rollout target, they will achieve 40% of the nation's population by end of this year. That's a big deal. So let me take a step back and contextualize this for you and for the viewers out there. DNB only came into being March of last year. So when the Minister of Finance announced the formation of DNB as a SPV under MOF. There was only one guy called Ralph Marshall that they have appointed as CEO, and that was March of last year. Wasn't that long ago. To his credit,
15, 16 months ago.
Yeah, Ralph built his team, called an open tender, a very well-executed open tender, with all the key players from around the world from a technology standpoint participating, and they selected Ericsson to be the 5G technology supplier for Malaysia in support of the DNB network. And that was announced July of last year, essentially 13 months ago. So in 13 months' time, the DNB team worked very hard and built over 1,000 sites to get us to where we are today with 30% population coverage. So the hardest part is done. From this point on, it's repeating the template state by state by state. So by end of this year, we should see 40. And by 2024, only 18 months from now, we would reach 80% population coverage. Have we seen 4G deployed at this rate before, ever?
Yeah,
have we seen 3G before at this rate ever? No.
But having said that, we're despite the rapid deployment of 5G, we are, generally speaking, still behind. So we are catching up with the rest of the market right now.
So yeah, that's an important point. So there's a lot of talks about Malaysia being behind and so on. Fair enough. In light of the fact that we have only pulled the trigger last March, I think we've done very well. And I think this is the moment that we should say Malaysia boleh, because as a country that started a bit late, we are catching up very, very fast. Mm. But let me comment on one very important thing. If you look at 4G today, we are at 96% nationwide 4G coverage, right? Everyone knows that. Are you happy with your 4G?
No.
Good.
I'm not.
So let's look at 5G in the context of coverage, as well as, more importantly, quality, right? So our customer on the Yes 5G network are experiencing an average speed of 577 megabit per second downlink. Average speed. Peak speed on our network through the DNB wholesale network on the Yes SIM card, you can get up to 1.5 gigabit per second. So an average speed of 577 is nothing to joke about. So basically, for a lot of folks out there, this is faster already than the home broadband network. Imagine, this is not a home broadband network. This is a wireless network that is with you anywhere you go. 30% today, 40% later this year, and 80% basically everywhere you go throughout the country in 18 months' time. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So how are you going to get your money back? You're a private entity. You're paying the wholesale network license for you to retail out to your customers. Mm-hmm. Are you making money?
We are doing well. Let me explain this. And I'm not trying to take this question lightly. It's a very, very serious question. And we do believe that we have a differentiation. Let me explain why. From day one. See, I came to Malaysia 13 years ago and had this great honor to build this Yes network with my colleagues at YTL Communications. And one thing that we saw from day one, and also together with our board, is that it is important to invest the right technology foundation. The entire internet runs on a technology called IP, mm-hmm. right? We all know the importance of IP. Now, IP is an everyday word. Mm-hmm. Back 12, 13 years ago, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But we saw correctly, IP is the most important enabling technology for any networks going forward, whether it's fixed or wireless. So we decided from day one that we should invest in a pure IP network. Now, Ibrahim, this is not a marketing point because it's very hard to explain.
It's hard because you are a CEO and you're trying to be a marketer, but I'm not trying to challenge that.
But allow me to continue that thought because it's a very important concept, is that we invested correctly in a pure IP network. Till now, in 2022, we are still, Ibrahim, the only all IP network in this country. Now, what that means is that we don't have legacy baggage. Unlike the other network, 2G is not a pure IP network. 2G is a circuit switch network. 3G is a circuit switch with some IP built on. 4G, the way that our competitors did it, is still a circuit switch with some IP network built on. When we launched our LTE service in 2016, we were the first in the country to launch something called Voice over LTE. Mm. Now, Voice over LTE is what you see now every day. Mm. Because our competitors only enabled Voice over LTE last year. Mm. We launched with Voice over LTE with our nationwide LTE network in 2016, a full 5 years ahead of the industry. I'm not trying to brag here, but my point is that if you invest in the right technology, if you know what you're doing from a technology standpoint, from an architecture standpoint, you have a clean slate network, a modern network that drives the unit cost down, whereby the other competitors, every G that they carry, carries baggage, carry CapEx, carry OpEx. So how could they bring the price down in the context of 5G when they have all these legacy baggages that they have to deal with? They cannot run away from that.
A good follow-up question would be to ask you, do you think that being small and being nimble actually enables you to get smaller unit economics out there?
Absolutely. First and foremost, telco business is a scale business.
Yep.
Anywhere in the world. So which means that if you can manage your unit cost correctly, which we have, our total headcount is less than 1,000 people, we have a pure IP technology, modern network, we can manage our unit costs at a level that the other guys can only dream of. Mm. Therefore, we can pass the savings to the end users out there. So think about it. The reason I moved to Malaysia with my family, uprooted my family in America and come here is because I saw this amazing opportunity presented by the YTL Group with this new license to go and build a brand new modern IP network to serve the nation. I thought, this is something that I want to do. I want to be part of that project. And here we are. And the proof of the pudding is that when you look at our 5G price point at 58 ringgit for unlimited 5G, unlimited 4G, and unlimited phone calls, I don't think anyone else out there can match that price. their base cost is too high.
If that is the case, let's talk a little bit more about growing your user base. I don't know what your user base is. I don't know whether you want to share
2.1 million.
2.9 million.
2.1 million.
2.1 million. Is that sizable enough? Is that the market that you want? Is how much?
It's a great place to start with our 5G momentum.
So do you have a target? You want to share with us your target of,
well,
of subscriber
you
base?
See the industry is going through a lot of changes as we speak. You see an announcement about merger and acquisition happening in this industry. So there's some degree of consolidation happening. Now, forget about the Malaysian context. Let's look at global context. Every time there's a new change in G, it presents an opportunity for a sea change in the industry dynamics.
Mm.
And that's why we are so excited.
Mm.
The change from 3 to 4 gave birth to YTO Communications,
mm.
give us an opportunity to present a new solution to the country.
Mm.
Now that we've sorted our organization from a scale standpoint, from infrastructure standpoint, from a channel sales standpoint, online sales standpoint, with 5 coming in, it gives us a tremendous opportunity to leapfrog. If you look at America, one that I'm quite familiar with, T-Mobile. You know, T-Mobile, when I was a young man, and I used to be a young man like you, right?
Oh, thank you very much for calling me young. Go on.
When I was a young man, T-Mobile was like a yes. It's where, okay, guys, you know, smaller guy, let's see what happens to T-Mobile. Now, T-Mobile is the dominant player in America.
Mm.
And that's why I believe that with the change of G, we also, similar to our friends in America, can use this as an opportunity to leapfrog, because the new change, especially with the element of DNB providing level playing field for all players, give us the ability to compete at the service level.
Are you trying to beat the market organically, or is there an M&A on the horizon?
Well, you know, we are always open to opportunities, however it comes. I mean, ultimately, think about it. We are a privately held company under the YTL Group, specifically under YTL Power. If you look at the balance sheet of YTL Power, I think it's safe to say that our board has tremendous flexibility to do what is needed for us to be competitive. You look at what we've done.
What does that mean? Ability to be competitive?
Very simple. Like I'll just comment on what the YTL Power group has done in the last recent months. Number one, we have made an announcement about our data center investment.
Mm.
We have created YTL Data Center as a new business opportunity. With YTL Data Center, we are building the largest hyperscale data center in the country.
Mm-hmm.
100% green, by the way,
mm-hmm.
In our Johor facility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important? Because if we can supply amazing 5G experience, we still need some content somewhere, right? Right now, most of the content comes from overseas, Singapore, Hong Kong, wherever. If we can have domestic anchorage of high quality content, not just for consumer to watch Astro or some other entertainment, but also for businesses to use cloud as a differentiator to help them drive costs down and help them innovate. That's a big deal. So we see cloud, accessibility of cloud through the hyperscaler data center as a strategic investment. Now, we are not done. Most recently, we are very pleased and honored to be given one of the 5 digital bank license by Bank Negara in Malaysia.
Mm.
Now, why is it a big deal? If you look at the banking industry today, right, we still have a fairly sizable banking divide, financial accessibility divide.
So, financial accessibility and financial access.
That's right. Mm. Now, with a digital bank license that enables us, now we won this license together with our partner, C Limited.
Yeah, one of the 5, yeah.
Right. So this is a big deal for us because we have now fairly comprehensive nationwide coverage footprint. We now, on our 4G network alone, we are reaching 92% of the country's population. With our 5G overlay, the experience will only get better and faster. Now, when that happens, so long you have a mobile device, you have access to your banking account, you have access to ability to make payment. Now, taking a bigger picture of look at how Malaysia is evolving as a country, right? We want to move towards a digital nation. A digital nation is one that should be inclusive. Now, from a network standpoint, we have done that bit about inclusivity. The next level is that in a digital economy, the movement of money is crucial. People have to be able to participate in the selling, buying chain in order to reap the benefits of a digital economy. Now today, we still have a fairly sizable banking divide. So if we have a digital bank capability, which we have, through access to your smartphone, through an app, you're basically able to participate fully in the digital economy. Now that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. However, my premise is this. The market isn't that big, all right? We're talking about 32 million people, at most of which many of them are not earning a lot. And we're also talking about the competition that is asymmetrical. Astro is your competition, actually, not just the MNOs that you speak of. And now you're entering a space where the traditional banking players, as well as the four other licensees, are also your competition. It's rife with a market not that big. How do you intend to stand out, considering that?
Innovation. Our company is all about innovation. If you look at the world, innovators tend to be rewarded in the digital economy. The world is moving towards a digital environment. In a digital environment, I think a lot of the legacy advantages would disappear. And those guys with the right idea and the ability to execute would stand out. I mean, we've seen T-Mobile is a good example in the realm of telco space. But you look at so many, I mean, I hate to say it, you got guys like Netflix, right? Which is basically upending the entire game when it comes to content streaming.
Yeah, but they're losing ground right now. The market share is a shadow of what
but
it was.
But the long game is that the world is moving towards online. The long game is that the world is moving towards cloud. So to the extent that we can create differentiation and innovation, which is why I think the DNB network, what the government wants to do with the DNB network is actually quite thoughtful. Because what the government is saying is that let's move away from infrastructure duplication. Because today we have 4G net. Why do we need 6? The country's not that big after all. So let's build a very, very strong, world-class 5G network that delivers the speed that I just talked about at 557.
But then it opens up to single operator risk.
Nope. See, DNB network is not exactly a single point of failure. Because DNB, see, this is the kind of tagline that people throw out there to scare people. And we should debunk that myth this morning or this evening.
Depending on when this airs. Go on.
DNB only provides the radio. We are still responsible for the core. The heavy lifting of providing wireless services is not just the towers. Towers is the easy bit, to be honest. You get a permit, you erect a tower, you mount some radios, and you're done. That's DNB's role. Our role is to take that traffic and bring it all the way to the core so that we can process the traffic, interconnect it to the rest of the world, allow for the voice call to be processed, and allow for additional data value to be added. That is the hard bit. We are keeping that.
And it's respective to how the MNOs are rolling it out, respectively.
Precisely. They're also keeping their own core. So we are not at a risk. That's why the concept of
single operator risk,
bad news is, in my view, is a red herring. Because basically, all they provide is just radio, all the towers. Now, if one tower were to fail, then because DNB's network is quite dense, then your phone is quite smart, you switch to the next tower. So it is not a risk. And people blow it out of proportion for whatever self-serving reasons, and I like to, you know, make sure that that's clarified today.
Okay, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Wing of YTEL Communications. Thanks for staying on with us. This is Notepad. I have with me in the studio Wing Kay Lee, CEO of YTEL Communications. Wing, as promised, I'm going to ask you the hardest question so far. Why is it that my iPhone can't connect to 5G?
Well, you know, you might want to call Apple and ask why. But Apple phones are capable of supporting 5G.
I know. I paid a lot of money for it. Yeah.
You did. Apple has a model whereby they will do licensing deal with operators. And for those that have signed up to be Apple telco partner, then they have ability to sell Apple devices. We haven't done that deal yet.
Why not?
It's all commercial. I think at some point, you know, let's discuss with Apple again. But we've been in conversation with Apple, and we are good friends with the teams here. So I look forward to the opportunity to enable Apple devices on our network as well. But basically, it boils down to commercial.
Okay. That's a personal question I want to ask because I'm an iPhone lover, unfortunately, and distressingly so, by the way. Let's talk a little bit more about 2023. There's a lot that needs to be done, a lot more that has yet to be done this year. You were talking about 40% DNB rollout. Where are they now?
They have 30%.
30%.
They'll go 40 by end of this year and by 80 in 18 months' time.
Yeah, so with that in mind, there's going to be a lot of adoption of 5G. There's another myth that I don't know whether you need to debunk. the utility of 5G is mostly for commercial usage, not for retail usage.
I'd love to debunk that.
Yeah, or consumer usage. Let's talk about that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I think so is it true?
This is very important, Ibrahim. I think it's safe to say that as a consumer, watching Astro Awani without buffering is a good thing. Mm. Fine. Is it going to change your life? No.
Unless they watch interviews with me and you.
That will change your life, yeah, especially this one.
But go on.
But when it comes to 5G, the real game changer and the real opportunity to uplift the country's GDP is about transforming industries. So if you look at one that I'm very close to these days, because we've just recently launched that not so long ago, which is healthcare. So just to update you and the viewers, we recently launched, together with our partner, First Ambulance, the first 5G ambulance in Malaysia. Now, why is that interesting, right, you might say? First Ambulance has been our customer for a long time, and they've been using our 4G services. We have this 4G telematic service, whereby they can monitor and track the vehicle's location, driver behavior, and all that good stuff. And then, as an innovator, and that's why innovation is the key, they thought, okay, since it is on our 4G network, our 4G network is, you know, pretty high performing, in fact, the highest rated in customer satisfaction in the country, then why don't we enable that to allow for additional information to be shared with the hospital when the ambulance is en route to the hospital. Mm. So what they start sharing snapshots of ultrasound. They start sharing snapshots of the ECG read.
Still live snapshots. While in transit.
Yeah, just WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah.
Pictures and stuff like that. And then I talked to Stephen, the CEO of First Ambulance, when we launched 5G. I said, hey Stephen, what can we do with 5G? You know, you are the domain experts. You tell me if we can give you fiber class performance without the burden of having a cable attached to your vehicle, which
what would you
impossible.
Do?
What would you do?
What's the sky? This he said that, hey, green skies.
What if we do live telemetry? Okay, take that one step back. So he's a good partner to IJN, National Heart Institute. And we learned from our friends at IJN that cardiac problem is the highest reason for people to have to call ambulance for help.
Mm. It's also the number one cause of death from
this. That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's going down in terms of average age, now in the 40s.
Yeah. 40s have heart attacks.
Yes, it's rather
30s now.
Rather concerning. Now, you know Klang Valley traffic. These ambulance, they also get stuck in traffic sometimes. So that is basically the golden hour that you're losing, stuck in Klang Valley traffic. Now, how can we save lives? So Stephen and his team together with IJN, they thought, let's do that. Let's put an ECG machine and let's put ultrasound machine and do live telemetry feed into the hospital. So the hospital, emergency room technicians, doctors can monitor real time the patient's condition as they change from minute to minute as the ambulance is en route. Another thing that we've done, we work with a company called Zoom, I'm sure you know about Zoom, video conference guys, and they brought in a partner called RealWear. RealWear provides a goggle. It's a very lightweight goggle that has a camera pointing forward. The whole purpose of RealWear is that RealWear, with the click of a button, you are connected to a Zoom call or a Teams call. It can support both platforms. Then the doctors in the hospital merely just connect to a Zoom call or Teams call, and they can see a live feed from the ambulance of what the technicians are seeing. And they can guide the technician, this is called remote guidance, how to provide life-saving technique when the ambulance is en route. The end result of this is that we are able to cut down what IJN experts told us, the door to balloon time by half.
Door to balloon?
Balloon.
Oh, okay.
That saves lives. It's, you know, I think it's great for techies like us to talk about how technology can improve lives, and we do that. But this is actually technology that saves lives. Okay. By using that time to save people.
I still hate to hesitate this. These are all visions and clear case studies that can be executed, assuming that you can get this right solution. When I went to Las Vegas for the CES back in 2018,
yeah.
You know, 4 years ago, the Verizon CEO was demoing in front of me on a virtual surgery that can be done using 5G.
Mm.
4 years ago.
Mm.
It has not yet been done. Mm. So this is the idea where I want to share with you. How do you bring vision to execution, considering that something like Verizon and their remote surgery that was demoed to us 4 years ago is still not being carried out? something like this, while it may save lives, and it will, actually, not me, you will save lives, what would be the translation of time needed for us to get there from point A to point B?
It's like the Maslow hierarchy, you know, you don't need to go to the highest tier from day one. We can start with the lower tier as well, safety and security. Let me put it this way. Malaysia, there are a lot of business owners out there watching this show, which I appreciate, and I'd like to address an important point. Most of them are suffering with not having good broadband for their premises, whether they have a factory or a warehouse or a logistic hub. With 5G, we are basically delivering wireless fiber to them. What it means is that they have the benefit, the capacity of a fiber, the low latency of a fiber, without the burden and hassle of having a cable or waiting for a certain fiber provider to figure out when they will deploy fiber to the area. So I think 5G is a game changer purely in the area of providing and leapfrogging and turbocharging businesses with fiber class broadband wirelessly. I mean, we can do that right now. But beyond that, let me talk about something that's so important. We are interested in data center, right? Everyone is building data center. Data center is a new arms race around the world. The Googles, the Microsoft, the Amazons, they're all putting data centers all over the world. Why? Because the world's innovation is moving towards the cloud, right? From a business standpoint. Many businesses are now running the entire business on cloud. Now, in the context of Malaysia, there are a lot of businesses, and we have a lot of very entrepreneurial businessmen. What we need to enable them with is with this wireless fiber capability, that they can connect their factories, their warehouse, their staff, wherever they are, to the cloud, where the cloud can bring about the benefits of artificial intelligence and big data to help the human do a better job, reduce costs, improve efficiency. So there are all these things that we can do. This is the ultimate convergence between cloud and wireless network. That's what bring transformation opportunities to numerous industries, not just the ambulance guys, but also to the warehouse guys, to the factory guys, and we are talking to a lot of factory folks out there. They absolutely see this as a benefit. One more thing, many of the factories, and you know, people are building factories for the last several years because of the demand of healthcare products and so on. And a lot of these factories, they don't even have time to lay fiber in the factory. And they don't want to lay fiber.
No, that's not their business. Their business is something else.
With 5G, they basically have fiber level performance in the air throughout the factory, which means that if they have 5G in the factory, then basically all the devices, all the instrumentation can be transmitted near real time to the cloud for processing and help provide real time feedback.
So this is the idea, right? You want to have visionary ideas like the ambulance people, you know, tangible, very, very concrete rollout plans. So what's the plan for YTL in terms of servicing these two kind of visions?
We love it because this is the kind of things that we enjoy doing as an innovator, and we are invested and structured to do that. Let me explain that. We have a company called Exchange in Malaysia, which is, we are a majority shareholder. It's an SI company, system integration company. So what we do now is that we work with partners from around the world, and we are friends with many, many of the guys out there that have been driving a lot of 5G innovation fans in industry like Qualcomm. We also work with Microsoft, we work with Google, work with Amazon, and so on.
Yeah.
So our job is that we built a very large scale network, and now with 5G to turbocharge it. So we are in the business of distribution, fundamentally, from a value chain standpoint. So if we can distribute, what can we do to add value on top? By bringing all these partners in. Now, we can also do that too. But at the end of the day, if you are the business owner, you are the MD of a manufacturing facility, you said, Wing, I don't want you to give me all these different Lego blocks and I have to figure out how to wire them together. I need someone to help me wire this stuff together.
Yeah, end-to-end solution.
That's why we have our system integration company. I think this is the time for us to really shine and really show the world what we can do as a company, not just to deliver a SIM card. Delivering SIM card, most people can do. But delivering real solutions, driving real business results and impact. We've done that already with 4G, and we can't wait to do a lot more of that with 5G.
So does that translate to the business being a consulting role as well? The systems integration company is not just integrating systems.
As a solution company, you have to be consultative.
So M&A in the air?
Well, let's see how things go.
There you go. Okay, one more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Wing of YTL Communications.
Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Wing K. Lee, the CEO of YTEL Communications. Wing, let's talk a little bit more about the sector itself, not just the tech sector itself, not just the communications sector. We've seen how the US Congress has approved the $50 billion or $55 billion, if I'm not mistaken, investment into Intel and TSMC, but it comes with a caveat of folks like TSMC unable to grow their fabrication plants in China. This is again another one of those pseudo-economic warfare that is happening between the power struggles of the world. We're also seeing rising tensions between Taiwan and China, the ongoing conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And all this does impact directly into how the tech sector is going to be operating, particularly in the semiconductor sector. And Malaysia is a big player in that. How do you see the tech sector shaping up in the next, say, 2 to 3 quarters coming in the coming quarters, particularly when global tensions are indeed rising, inflationary pressures are hitting all the businesses that we speak of? What's the future looking like?
Yeah, I think the future is very exciting. Now. The war hasn't helped.
Exciting isn't
it? It can be interpreted both ways, right?
Yeah.
It's not for the faint of heart. Our business, the tech business, is not for the faint of heart. Our business in any sector, whether it's telco or semiconductor, it is a multi-year, large-scale investment that has very long business life cycle. So when you invest for a very long business life cycle, then you have to have the fortitude to deal with risks that you can't control. Now. Your comment is about semicon, so I comment on semicon. Let's look at how the world of semicon has changed.
Yeah.
So we have gone from a what we call complex instruction type computing to reduced instruction type computing,
SIS
to RISC. Now, the predominant player behind the world of RISC, you see the name such as Qualcomm, you see MediaTek doing very well. In fact, basically all your smart devices are either powered by Qualcomm or MediaTek. And even if you use, say, Apple Silicon, it uses the same architecture, right, fundamentally. What we call the ARMS architecture. Sorry for
no,
this.
No, I'm completely following. The viewers of this show is completely aware of ARM. Yeah.
So why is ARM so exciting? Now, we are seeing a revolution when it comes to price performance in the mobile devices. I mean, you're holding a mobile device that's got more computing power than famously said, the computer that sent the man to the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
This is happening on the mobile device, and it's going to the cars, right? So you can think about the cars as basically a mobile computing platform. So if you look at what Elon Musk has done with Tesla, basically he's turned the computer processing capability as a major differentiator for his product.
Yeah.
Right? It's basically, as people would joke about, saying, this is an iPad with wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You look at the future of electric mobility.
Which is still not wrong, by the way.
It's not, yeah. Not wrong.
Yeah.
Although the wheels could be better. but the German guys are coming in, so okay. So my point is that I believe that this whole prevalence of microprocessor going into multiple endpoints is going to be on an uptake and hockey stick. You see this happening to automobiles, you see that happening to homes, and eventually you see that happening in factories throughout. I just came back from Penang yesterday, right? I was basically in the E&E capital of Malaysia, right? That's where Penang is,
right? Inari and the gangs are
exactly
there. Emerton, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these guys are super excited. Why? Because it plays to the strength of Malaysia. We already have a proud history, they will tell me, that this year marked the 50th anniversary of Penang being an E&E hub in the region.
That. Okay.
That's a big deal for Malaysia. Malaysia, yeah. Belay, right?
Yeah.
So we have the talent base. We have the capability. I met so many smart people yesterday talking to all these different factory guys. They are really world-class guys living in Penang and serving the country, right? So I think this whole drastic sea change of the world moving towards traditional physical level infrastructure competition to digital infrastructure competition is a great news story for Malaysia because we have the talent base to take advantage of it from a infrastructure silicon standpoint to the manufacturing standpoint. And now, of course, with the growth of 5G, talent base to do software level innovation to take full advantage of the entire stack. I'll give you one more example. We are good friends with Qualcomm, so I learned a lot from our friends at Qualcomm.
Okay.
They have a new automotive chip platform. So exciting. So they explained to me that, Wing, in your car, between the two rear view mirrors, right, your left rear mirror and the right rear mirror, you have over 50, 60 chips in the car, all doing little things. One chip that does the avoidance detection for the car, you know, that flashes the light when there's a blind spot coming in. And there are some chips that deal with the auto, entertainment system, one chip for the AC control and stuff like that. All these chips do, they only do a very little, tiny little bit of work. What if we were to have a powerful chip similar to what you have in front of you, right? That same architecture. It can combine all these functions into this chip.
Energy efficiency.
And for the sake of the redundancy, put one more.
Yeah, okay.
That's your new generation of automotive architecture.
How far are we from there to here?
Based on my friend's indication to me, some German guys have already signed up, German automotive giants. So it's happening very soon.
But just like the telco sector, the semicon is actually a scale business. We're looking at TSMC and Intel being up there. SMIC from China is still growing slowly. However, I'm not discounting the fact that they can catch up very, very soon. So where is the competition lying? Like, is it tied up with the governmental institutions as well and the administration of these countries? Or is it very much an independent capitalistic movement of companies trying to achieve efficiency and market dominance?
The latter. So what the US government has done is to securitize the supply chain.
That's good.
Simple as
that.
What guys like Qualcomm and NVIDIA are doing is to drive innovation when it comes to chipset design. They don't own a single plant, right? These guys, they have tons of very smart people, engineers, that do chip design. They do design. They don't do actual fabrication. Fabrication, they give to guys like TSMC or Samsung. So if you look at the semicon industry, there are two major segregation of innovation. One is excellence in manufacturing. TSMC leads the world in that regard. They are now able, even Samsung in Korea, they are now able to do 3-nanometer manufacturing, which packs a lot more silicon into the chip and also drive power efficiency.
Yeah.
Then you have very smart guys in at Qualcomm, NVIDIA as an example, that they do
design.
Really high-end chipset design, Apple, like the M chips and so on.
Yeah.
So this is a different skill set. But when you combine the two together, that's where you get the end product.
Yeah.
So the Americans,
the M2.
Have pretty good chip design capability. In fact, a lot of the chip design tools are actually American technologies, right? So what is happening now is that these guys just keep coming out with new design very quickly. I mean, just like your product in front of you. I mean, they have new chip coming out almost every year now, every 9 months.
Yeah.
And then they need guys with these focus and execution of the material science capability, such as the TSMC and Samsung, to manufacture that chip for them.
Sometimes it's bizarre because 3-nanometer is like, that is it.
Yeah, you can't go zero, isn't it?
You can't go to zero, but it is what it is.
But we're doing sub-nanometer soon.
Wow.
I mean, when I was...
A young man. Is that that seems to be a theme here.
Younger man. When I came to Malaysia 13 years ago, the state of the art is 28-nanometer.
Yes, correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Now it's 3. I mean, we've gone from...
When I first started, my career was 18 nanometers. I was investing in a company on behalf of the bank that I was at. 18 nanometers, and we were blown away then.
Yeah.
But
imagine how many more transistors you can put in. And imagine the power efficiency improvement. So I was just talking about this mobile device, or cars as a very large mobile device. Imagine this chipset going to data centers.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's what people are working on.
So the future of data farm isn't that widespread kind of gigafactories that we have today.
We can still do that, Ibrahim. But think about data center. Data center is bad news from an ESG standpoint.
Agreed.
Because data center, the highest consumption point of data center is electricity.
Yes.
If we can drastically reduce data center electricity consumption.
Water as
by
well.
Moving towards, water is a byproduct of consumption because of cooling.
Yeah.
See, you consume a lot of electricity, therefore you have to cool the chip down.
Yeah.
Right? Because the chip...
But generally speaking, it's no good for ESG. Let's
exactly. Because ultimately it's physics, right? The energy has to go from one state to another state. Your chip is inefficient, the energy turns to the heat, and therefore you do spend more money to cool it down, right? Simple as that. So we have high efficiency chip based on an ARM-based architecture, which is what these guys are doing, then we can totally change the game. The next generation of data center may not even have to need all this water cooling, may not even need to pay all this very expensive, exorbitant electricity bill. They might be able to run purely on solar. They might be able to purely run on hydro. Why not? Or wind. That changes
matter.
The game.
Yeah,
right?
Because and the requirements is actually lower.
And changes where you can deploy data centers, and changes how quickly, we can enable AI for communities massively throughout the world. That changes the game.
But of course, the bedrock of all these changes is, of course, still communications. We still need to talk to each other. Computer to computer, computer to human, human to human.
That's basically what I think 5G can help us. Because what 5G give us is the ability to have fiber-class communication wirelessly. So computer to computer, computer to human, human to computer, all this will be sorted with a wireless fabric that give you fiber quality connectivity anywhere you go. It's literally the fibers in the air. That's 5G, right? So that's why 5G is so exciting to us. And I would say one more time that I think the government made a good choice to accelerate 5G deployment with this SWN.
All right. Final question, before we end, is of course the level of commitment that the government is doing when it comes to rolling out the 5G. It has been a long drawn out process. However, we are seeing markers every step of the way. On this show, we've had DNB, we've had Exiata, we've had Maxis, now we have you. We have all the content operators, including developers. I hesitate to use app developers, but systems developers who are, you know, they can't wait to get 5G up and running and deploy the solutions for folks like you to give to your customers. Is the end completion in sight when it comes to consumers like us? Let's face it, that most of us are still part of the CDMA universe, and some of us like me are on yes as well. Do you feel that the mass adoption is actually near already, and the whole talk of single wholesale, dual wholesale, you know, kind of debate is actually passé already, everything's passed. For the consumer watching us right now, when am I going to get 5G in earnest?
Today, we have over 100 models of smartphone in Malaysia that support 5G, minus one particular brand that you like. So I think it's safe to say that the...
I'm in love.
Okay, I respect that. But I think that the latent of accessibility of devices there, my job and my colleagues' job is to create awareness. 30% is not a percentage coverage that something to laugh about. It's a substantial coverage, and very soon we have 40%. So my job, along with my colleague at YTL, is to continue to drive awareness and channel distribution so more people in Malaysia can have access to 5G. See, to have 5G, you need two things. You need someone like YES to give an amazing plan. At 58 ringgit, the lowest cost of 5G tariff in the world, right? So it's available in Malaysia.
I really hope you can make money from that price point.
We can. And this is really going against the grain. The whole world is under inflationary pressure. Everyone's trying to find excuse to raise price.
Telecommunication segment for inflation is actually the one dropping, as well as other technology products. Food and everything else, education, healthcare, everything goes up.
But we are dropping.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So the other is that, well, having the service plans available, having 100 or so of these devices available out there doesn't mean a thing if the affordability of those devices are not there.
Yeah.
So if I may just say one more thing, not only that we launched this infinite plan that provide basically the price point that ends all debates about price point at 58 ringgit, unlimited 4G, unlimited 5G with no FUP and unlimited calls. We also have this infinite plus product. With infinite plus, we even give you as an end user and your viewers a free phone, whether it's Vivo, Oppo, Xiaomi, Redmi, Samsung, free. So long they commit to us for 36 months. Now, people will say that 36 months is a long time. I would say no, because you've been using your phone for much more than that with your SIM card. And in our view, they give us 36 months of their commitment. We also commit back to them 36 months of pricing guarantee of 58 ringgit, the lowest pricing.
So it works
tariff.
Both ways, the guarantee.
Yeah, it works both ways. And if you look at the total cost, and one thing that we must, I would like to ensure that our viewers understand is that the riot out there needs to understand the concept of total cost. Financial literacy, isn't it? Is that you have all these other plans out there. If you break down all these hidden charges and all this upfront payment, your total payment is actually a lot more.
Yeah.
In our case, it's a straightforward 36 times your monthly tariff. That's it. That's all you pay us.
Not
there's
a dollar
no
more,
hidden cost.
Not a cent more.
Yeah, so this is a win for the riot out there. So we are doing our part, right, to ensure the price point is accessible, devices are available for free, and last but not least, our job now is to make sure that we push the journey to as many people in Malaysia as possible. So we also have also branched out from our YES store and our dealer channel. We also added the convenience of online channel. So now customer can go to yes.mine and sign up. We go for a simple eKYC, you know your customer.
Yeah.
Everything's done online in the comfort of their house. And we'll send them a SIM card totally free. and they can activate and use right away without leaving the house.
Does this correspond with some of the offerings that you're going to do with your digital bank?
Absolutely. So I think that's synergistic. See, if you take a look.
Because eKYC through digital bank, you know who I am already, everything is bank approved. So bank got it approved.
I would like to just say that I think Shopee customers and Yes customers in Malaysia will be the first to enjoy our digital bank offering.
Oh, yeah. Congrats. Shopee's also...
it's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
Yeah.
Sorry, just one more follow-up question before we end this interview. When we see these kind of offerings being done to the market, there is a psychology that you have to deal with in terms of customers switching brands or attrition rate between between telcos. If I'm not mistaken, an Ipsos study shows that the customer attrition rate amongst for telcos is actually quite high. People switch out very often, particularly postpaid customers, not so much prepaid. Do you feel that this works both ways, in your favor, against your favor as well? Because
yes, as a young challenger, if people want to switch out, we have an opportunity to welcome them, right? We believe that fundamentally, I mean, we have what I consider a level playing field when it comes to the rules of engagement, because Malaysia, we do support mobile number portability.
Yeah.
So what that means is that the riot are not bounded to one telco, right? It's our job to give them an offer that they want to embrace. If we do a good job, give them a good offer that resonates with them, and we do a good job providing superior customer experience, for instance, our mobile app called the MyYes app. Basically, many of the customers now, they even don't even have to call us anymore. Everything can be done through the MyYes app. And that's the highest rated telco app in Malaysia. So we win in all these areas of innovation, right? And our job is to broaden the reach of our services and capability and awareness to the riot. Then more people can hopefully say yes.
Fantastic. All right, we'll end right there. That was our interview or our conversation with Wing Kay Lee, the CEO of YTL Communications. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrawani.com. You can look for YTL or Yes or YTL Communications or Notepad. All those are key highlight or tag hashtags that you can use. When finding these kind of interviews or interviews like this, you can also look for DNB and 5G as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and catch you in the next one.